The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good morning. And we come to the last day of this five-part series on aspects of our mind, our mental activity that can be both wholesome and unwholesome, helpful and unhelpful, and because they look similar to each other, it's possible to confuse them, be confused by what part is wholesome, what is wholesome, when it's wholesome and when it's not wholesome, when it's useful and not useful. So today's topic is, in Pali, is the word ditti. And ditti is usually translated into English as views. And views, stories, opinions, philosophies that we have, can be a source of binding, of being bondage, of being caught. But views can also be a source of freedom, setting us free, of wisdom and guidance, helpful guidance in our lives. And so, in Buddhist English, there's a tendency of treating the English word views to refer to unhelpful opinions, stories, philosophies, metaphysical ideas about what's happening here in this world of ours. And because there's a strong tendency of kind of pointing out that views are unhealthy, that sometimes people have the idea they're not supposed to have any understandings, any stories, any interpretations, any wisdom or understanding that guides them in their life, that supports them and is appropriate to have. And so, but there are these two different possibilities. And so the word ditti, in as it's used in the Pali Suttas, is overwhelmingly used to refer to something like speculative views, to fixed views. And these two things, speculative and fixed, are significant. And speculative means opinions and views about things that we can't know directly. So they're interpretations or stories about something that, and then fixed views is when we're caught in and attached to the view, sort of being opinionated about our view, meaning this is, you know, holding on, this is the truth, this is how it is. And the fixed views can even be for views, understandings that are healthy, are appropriate in and of themselves, but the way that we hold them, there's suffering involved. There's attachment. There's clinging to the views. I'm right and everyone else is wrong. And so this attachment to our philosophies, our opinions, can be operating whether or not our opinions are accurate. And this is an important thing to consider for those of you who have accurate opinions, accurate ideas of what's going on, accurate stories and of what happened, is that the way you hold those can be a source of suffering for yourself and to others when there's an insistence and a dogmatic attachment to it. So so a lot of Buddhist practice is about overcoming speculative views, dogmatic views, views that are speculating about the nature of reality, nature of the human being, nature of our life, nature of liberation, discovering how to have the views, the understandings that come out of seeing something directly, to having direct experience for oneself. When we first get introduced to Buddhism, maybe, that we take a little bit the teachings, the ideas, maybe even the philosophies, a little bit on faith, enough faith that we're willing to do the practice. But it's provisional faith, it's provisional view, and we understand this is provisional. I've reasoned it out, it seems like this is the best, pretty good. But let's now find out. And the idea is that we're moving in the direction of insight, where our understanding comes from direct experience for ourselves. And so what we don't know yet from personal experience, that is taken on provisionally as something that we can discover for ourselves. So you can use a little bit of reflection to think about philosophies, views, religious thought, ideas, metaphysical ideas that might be attractive and seem right to you, but you might realize I can never prove it for myself. And so this is maybe outside the reach of direct experience and direct sensory experience. And so so if you want to hold on to that, then you know that you can't discover this for yourself. Whether it's true, it becomes an article of faith. What we're looking for in Buddhism are those understandings, those views that we believe can be verified for ourselves. We can discover for ourselves. And so something simple as the idea, the story that if you cling, you will suffer. And if that clinging is released, the suffering is released as well. That is something that belongs to the area of direct experience. It might not be easy to experience, but it is something that with time we can start seeing how that works. Oh yeah, in fact, I was clinging and then I suffered. Before I clung, I was no suffering. So a big thing that Buddhism teaches is that all our experiences are inconstant. And this is a kind of a central tenet held up high as a very important, but it's meant to be an insight that we can verify for ourselves. And so the view of life that we get through practice is a view that's built on this deeper and deeper appreciation of how things are changing all the time, impermanent, inconstant. And with time, we see how this insight has a liberating quality, how freeing us up from the idea of constancy or the idea of permanence, the idea of fixity, makes us much more malleable and fluid and adaptable to all the changes that go on all the time in life. There's a view in Buddhism that there is no self. There's that view that people sometimes advocate. It's not actually what the Buddha taught. And with some reflection, maybe you can appreciate that maybe you can't really discover that there is no self. How would you know that? What the Buddha focused on is what you can know for yourself. And what you can know is that particular things in your experience don't qualify as a definition of who I am. And this is myself. So so the movement is to see what in our experience that I took as myself that is not really how I fundamentally am. That actually to hold on to that is a kind of suffering. It is kind of a wind drag that slows me down. And that not to identify with that is actually more freedom and more ease in my life. But it's always something particular. And as practice gets deeper and deeper, all the particulars in our life are seen as not self. But it's not an idea that there is no self, but it's also not the idea that there is a self. The philosophy, idea of what is and is not a self, that's considered a speculative view that we don't get involved in. What we get involved in is what we can see directly and know for ourselves. So the understandings, the views that come from insight, that come from direct experience, those we rely on in practice. They can give a sense of purpose, a direction to our lives. They can guide our lives in a certain way. When we see clearly that there is a possibility to suffer less, we see it's possible to let go of clinging. It's possible to see below the fixed views that we have, the interpretations we have, and see things more directly for ourselves. This can be a powerful inspiration and motivation to continue on this path of freedom in our direct experience, and not to get hung up in speculative philosophies, which maybe we can never ascertain for ourselves directly. And if there are philosophies that we can ascertain for ourselves directly some way, then if we're motivated, we can go and practice to see how we can discover that for ourselves. The Buddha said once that in describing his teaching, he said, "I just point out the way. It's up to you to walk the path." And so appreciating what we can discover through a direct experience that shows us what that path is that we walk. So we can get wrapped up, caught up in opinions and stories and views and philosophies about how things are, or we can have kind of understandings, philosophies, even stories that point to freedom beyond stories, that point us to how to be free here in the direct experience, opening up to what's really here in a deeper way, and then discovering the stories that are possible in direct experience, in really seeing clearly what's here. And one of those stories is the stories of freedom, the stories of moving from suffering to the freedom from suffering, the story of happiness and living a clear life, clarity and release. And that's a story that's worth living. And maybe we can share that story with each other, stories of what we discover in being free. So thank you. And I hope you have for those of you in the United States, I hope you have a wonderful 3-day weekend. I'll be back here Monday, as usual, even though it's a holiday. And some of you might be away. So I wish you well. And in the meantime, you might, over this weekend, look a little bit about the role that views, stories, opinions have in for you personally, and see if you can discern the difference between the views, stories, interpretations that you're caught in and those that you're not caught in. Those which are helpful to see more deeply into our direct experience with ourselves and other people, and those stories that obscure a real insight into what's happening here and now. So, thank you.